I am Mahendra Gupte. We are looking at Chapter 6, Modes of Transport. What are the modes of transport available for an international business or for global sourcing or global sales? You have air transport, sea transport, road transport, rail transport, and multimodal transport. Air transport, fastest mode of transport, ideal for high value and perishable goods. Reliable schedules, higher freight cost. This is by far the fastest but the most costliest mode of transport ever that you can use in international business. You would have to airship certain consignments when they are very, very urgent or if your sea route has defaulted. Ideal for high value and perishable goods. Practically all our perishable goods, that is vegetables, fruits, flowers, are all moved only through air transport. The schedules are reliable because most of the time flights are on time, and that's how you get material delivered, especially perishable goods, on time for consumption at the destination. Air transport advantages: very fast delivery, reliable schedules, lower risk of damage and theft, faster customs clearance. Disadvantages: high cost, limited cargo capacity, strict regulations, and weather dependency. When we look at air transport, while we understand the purpose or the need for using it, let's also understand the advantages and disadvantages. Advantages, as we understood, very fast delivery, reliable schedules. All the schedules will comply to no-fly zones and timings of airports and all stuff like that. Lower risk and damage and theft. The high cost of freight that you pay for an air transport includes the security that you get, the unwritten security that you get for your cargo when you are shipping through air. Most of the airports have got strict security measures in place. As a result, they ensure that your cargo also remains secure and is at no risk of theft, etc. Faster customs clearance. Customs clearance is faster because there is pressure on the customs to ensure that the cargo moves out. As a result, the customs processes are much faster and much more organized. At disadvantages, the cost, which is very high. Limited cargo capacity. Even the cargo planes have got limited capacity, and most of the cargo that moves through the passenger aircrafts also has limited cargo capacity. Strict regulations. There are too many compliances and regulations that you have to look at before you think of shipping by air. And last but not the least is the dependency on weather. So if there is fog or extremely cold weather, it could stop the aircraft from flying off. Sea transport, most economical for bulk cargo, high cargo capacity, suitable for long distance trade. Let's understand, sea transport is the transport which moves practically more than 90% of all goods across the world. So it is this sea transport which is the most important for any international trade, and most of your shipments will move through sea transport in whatever business you may be in. Unless you are in the business of perishable goods, then you would only use air transport. You may not look at sea transport at all. Now, when they say it is most economical for bulk cargo, as I said, all cargo, practically all cargo, moves through the sea route only. Whether it is the one of the arms of a windmill, or whether it is a construction equipment that is required to be moved, it will move through a ship. Every ship has got very high cargo capacity, suitable for long distance trade. Gone are the days when cargo would take months to reach US or any European country. Today it reaches in weeks or maybe in a few days' time. Sea transport, advantages: cost effective for bulk shipments, very high cargo capacity, ideal for intercontinental trade. Disadvantages: slow transit time, port congestion, higher risk of damage, and complex documentation. The advantages is cost effective for bulk shipments, very high cargo capacity, ideal for intercontinental trade because there are fixed routes that are there for the ships to go around. As a result, everything is totally organized. Disadvantages, slow transit times. There is a limit to the speed of the ships and the entire process of delivering material at the origin port. From that, it gets boarded onto a ship that is sailing to the destination or may go through two ship routes. That is, at one point, one ship carries it to one point and then another ship carries it from there. There would be transit times there, higher transit times. There could be port congestion. As a result, ships may reach the port, but they are not permitted to dock because the port is congested. Higher risk of damage. Similar to aircrafts, the sea transport is also subjected to weather. However, weather here is where the cargo itself or the container is exposed to the weather elements. Whereas in the aircraft, when you're moving cargo through the air transport, the cargo is protected inside the aircraft. Complex documentation requires documentation which is as good or as complex as the air transport or any other international transport itself. Road transport, door-to-door delivery, flexible routes and schedules suitable for regional trade. Whenever you are wanting to move material and pick it up from your place of origin and deliver it at the final place of destination, you will require road transport. You may use air or sea in between or rail in between, but you will require road transport if it is a door-to-door delivery. Routes are flexible and schedules because there are no really fixed schedules except the travel time or the transit time that is required between point A to point B. Suitable for regional trade, as I said. Unfortunately, we do not have too much trade with our neighbors, but in Europe, the entire EU is covered through the road transport. Although they have Eurail, which takes much lesser time and is much more economical to move cargo across Europe. What are the advantages of road transport? Door-to-door service, flexible scheduling, cost-effective for short distances. Disadvantages, limited international reach, traffic and weather disruptions, border customs delays, weight and size limits. So advantages, again, door-to-door service, flexible scheduling. As soon as the truck is filled, it can leave to travel towards its destination. Cost-effective for short distances. Disadvantages, limited international reach, as I just said. Internationally, it may not really work except in Europe or in the USA. Traffic and weather disruptions. Yes, traffic is the major problem, in fact, in all metro cities in India. And weather disruptions where certain rivers or dams would get full and then material needs to be released, or you would have some fog areas where high altitude destinations would be difficult to reach. Border customs delays. Yes, border customs delays do happen depending on the countries that are involved and what are the agreements between the two countries. Weight and size limits. Of course, you can always only load material which is confined to the boundaries or the rules that govern the vehicle that is being used for transportation. Rail transport, environmentally friendly, high cargo capacity, suitable for landlocked regions. Rail transport after road is where it is on land, but it is most environmentally friendly because almost all trains today are running on electricity. High cargo capacity, you have got dedicated cargo routes which carry 1+1, that means two-tier containers, thus doubling the capacity of the train to move the cargo, and suitable for landlocked regions. Again, Wherever there are extremely powerful or good railway networks, that is India, China, US and Europe, this rail transport can be used advantageously. What are the advantages? Low carbon footprint, high capacity, safer than road transport, planned schedules. Disadvantages: less flexible, higher infrastructure cost, noise issues, and non-uniform standards. Low carbon footprint are the advantages, high capacity as we just understood, safer than road transport. Why? Because the parking is not in a public place. The train will get parked only on the railway line as well as in certain yards only. Planned schedules, trains will leave only through as per schedules and will reach as per schedules. So there is no issue in terms of delays or any other factors. Disadvantages, less flexible because you got to adhere to the delivery, the planned schedules that are there. Higher infrastructure cost. Now this is a cost which the government bears for every country for ensuring that there is infrastructure for the railway line, for the railway train to reach its destination. Noise issues, yes, a full train, even if it's a passenger train, does make a huge amount of noise when it passes through a village, through a city, or through its route. Non-uniform standards. The non-uniform standards is talking about every country has its own width of rails. That is the standard of the railway line, which means there are three gauges that they call it the gauge of the railway line, which is there is something called broad gauge, something called meter gauge, and something called narrow gauge. To put it in numbers, broad gauge is beyond 1 meter, something to the tune of 1.2 to 1.4. Meter gauge is exactly a meter, is the distance between the two parallel tracks, rail tracks, and narrow gauge is lesser than 1 meter. So whenever you have borders of different countries and different standards in the two countries, then you have a problem where the cargo has to be unloaded from one railway, from one train and loaded onto another train. That is where it comes, they're talking of non-uniform standards. Multimodal transport uses multiple transport modes, single contract and bill of lading, cost and time optimization, centralized responsibility. As we understood, if your company is, let's say, for example, based in Pune and you want to ship something from the JNPT port in Mumbai, you would require road transport to move it or rail transport to move the cargo from your factory to JNPT. You could use rail, but again, from your company to the railway line, to the railway station, would you need road transport. Now this road transport, train and then shipping would all mean you are using different modes of transport. And this is where multimodal transport comes in, where you have a single contract and a bill of lading that is issued to you as soon as the material is taken over, irrespective of the mode of transport being used. The same contract or the same bill of lading will be used and can be used for claiming goods at destination. It optimizes cost as well as time. The biggest advantage is it's a single window operation, which means you are talking to only one single party, irrespective of that party taking care of all the different modes of transportation. And that's why it is said as centralized responsibility. Intermodal transport uses multiple carriers, separate contracts, greater flexibility, more coordination required. Now, other than multimodal transport, there is also something called intermodal transport. It serves the same purpose, but now there is no single contract. There are as you use different carriers, there will be separate contracts for each carrier. And it is you as the party who is interested, the shipper, who will have to talk to each of these carriers and have separate contracts with each of them. This would give you greater flexibility. For example, if you are using a road transport, you could use the same truck to transport material to the port as well as to some other destination which the truck carries on ahead. So that would give you greater flexibility. But however, once you use a multimodal transport, you hand over the cargo to that transporter and he takes care of the cargo after that, right till the destination. As a result, since there are different contracts, different multiple carriers, there is definitely much more coordination that is required. Mode selection criteria. How do you select which mode to use? One is the cost, which is the most important. Second is the nature of goods. Third is the time sensitivity. Fourth is safety. Fifth, reliability. And the next is the infrastructure and the regulations. So would you want to go through all the air transport regulations and the compliances, or you would like to use road transport? Is your call. Transportation costs, freight charges includes freight charges, fuel and handling charges, packaging and warehousing, customs and duties, insurance and administration. So these are the different heads of costs that will be counted as the transportation cost. The freight charges are the actual charges that you pay a carrier for moving cargo from point A to point B. Many of these companies or these modes of transport charge you separate costs for fuel and handling, for packaging and warehousing, for the customs duty, the customs and duties which are paid directly to the government of that country, and insurance and administration. Insurance is paid to the insurance company and administration for actually doing the coordination and moving the cargo physically. Air shipping process. Let's understand one of the processes. Air shipping, order and select the Incoterms, book freight and pack cargo, export customs clearance, air transport, import clearance and delivery. So if you are going to use air transport as your shipping process, you will need to order, and first you receive the order and then decide the Incoterms. Once you have agreed, you book freight and pack the cargo accordingly. For packing the cargo, you will, based on the nature of goods and the cargo that you are shipping, you will get guidelines from the airline as to what is bare minimum required or will be accepted at their end. Then there would be export customs clearance to be done at the port of dispatch, port of origin, airport of origin. Then it gets onto an aircraft scheduled to carry the transport, the cargo, and lands at the destination, and then import clearance and delivery has to happen. The sea shipping process, order and select Incoterms, as we saw in the air transport. Now you got to do the documentation for exports and do the booking of the space or a container on the shipping line. Export customs clearance needs to be done. Then the sea transport takes place. And then again, import clearance and delivery will happen. Summary, transport is vital to international trade. Each mode has unique strengths and limits. Multimodal transport optimizes logistics. Correct mode reduces costs and risks. So transport is definitely vital to international trade. You cannot otherwise produce goods and let them sit in your warehouse waiting for transport. So you will have to initiate the transport part so that the material moves. Each mode has unique strengths and limits. So it's extremely important which mode of transport you use to move your goods. Looking at the unique strengths and limits of each of them. Multimodal transport optimizes logistics. So you got to understand which kind of transport modes you are going to use and accordingly hire or take the services of a multimodal transporter to do the job for you. Correct mode reduces risk as well as the cost of transportation. Thank you.